Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, how you doing? This is Vejike Sana Cody. That's right, from Arayeke, Yucayek, and I'm really happy to be back. This is Taino Radio, and this is a part two of Do Taino People Exist? What a question, but it's a question I have to ask. And we have a part two segment today. This is going to be amazing. Right now I'm in New York City, Lenni Lenape territory. And I'm going to interview someone really cool, my tribal members. Her name is Stephanie Bosch, a.k.a. Malu Lenni. I'm going to get her on in a little bit, but I just want to share. Yesterday, part one was an amazing show. I got some good feedback. Anyone has any feedback or any positive criticism, stressing positive, and that is at Taino Radio 1491 at gmail.com. Taino Radio 1491 at gmail.com. Taino Radio is, you can also find those on tainoradio.com, on the internet, the cyber world. Once again, I'm from Arayeke, Yucayek. This is the Arayeke Tribal Network News. And look out for some important news that's coming up for this new year. Once again, our GoFundMe is still active. We're trying to get some land to build a cultural center in Borinquen, and eventually in the other islands, create some jobs, create some educational programs, and a vibrant indigenation community in the Caribbean. So there's a lot of stuff going down, a lot of great stuff, and let me tell you something right now. I'm so happy to introduce our next guest. Her name is Stephanie Bosch, and once again, as I mentioned, a.k.a. Malu Lenni. Can you hear me, Stephanie, out there in the cyber world?
Oh, yes, I could hear you.
That's wonderful. Thank you. Listen, I forgot to mention there's another guest. It's a surprise guest. They just called in. They want to say a few words from Borinquen. Take it away. Wait a minute. Hold on a minute. This wouldn't be a Taino show without the coquis, right? Thank you so much.
Oh, my God, that sounded so beautiful.
Oh, wait, what they say? Wait, what? Oh, hey. That's Bomatum in their language. That's great. Good job. Thank you, Stephanie. Well, listen, it's going to be a great show. And, you know, a lot of people already, yes, they wrote me saying, do Taino people exist, really? I mean, that's like a stupid question, but guess what? It's a stupid question for us, but for a lot of people out there in the academic world and different communities throughout this world, they don't think we exist. So we're starting this series. Can you believe it? People don't think that we exist. They don't think we exist. So I have you on part two. And I'm just going to ask you, Stephanie Bosch, a.k.a. Malu Lenni. First of all, can you share, what does that name mean?
So, yes, I could definitely share with you the meaning of my name. So, after many, many years, because I'll be 32 this year, I struggled with identity and imposter syndrome, and I still do in many ways. And I really never felt like my birth given name was my name, and I still don't. I respond to it because it's just like out of being programmed and assimilated to like, hey, yeah, that was what you was given when you was born, so that's your name. But I personally, my soul never felt it was my name. So in my journey of self-discovery, especially with my ancestors, I really wanted an indigenous name. I wanted to feel like I was part of my roots. And when I found, you know, Arayeke Yukayek, I learned that there's naming ceremonies and how people are given names throughout interaction and getting to know each other and so on. And I found that journey line very beautiful and something I want to experience. So I said, well, you know what? I still don't want to be called Stephanie because it doesn't feel like my name. So let's find a gender neutral name that is in, you know, rooted in indigeneity and see if I feel like it feels like home for me. So I looked up a bunch of names and Malulani called out to me because of the meaning of it. So I found out that its origin is of Hawaiian, it's from Hawaii, and it is a gender neutral name in Hawaii, and it's pronounced Malulani, and the meaning of it means under heaven's protection.
Wait, say that again. Under heaven's protection.
Protection.
Oh man, that's most interesting. So that really touched you, huh? That really reached out to you.
Yeah.
So I think you highlight something very interesting. Not only do we talk about cultural identity, but also identity as a person, right? Who are is very important.
Yeah.
So that's great. Thank you for sharing that. And where you hold on a second. I got some glitch here in my studio. It wouldn't be Taino Radio without a little glitch, you know, but we're good. So hold on a second. Yeah, but, you know, sometimes past listeners and of our show, we always talk about the Men in Black trying to interrupt the show, but it's been really quiet until now. So
maybe they're in disguise right now and they're just sitting back observing.
I don't know if they like the topic, but do Taino exist? Yes, we do. We do. But hold on a second. There it is. I think I found it. I think I found the glitch. The glitch. See, I've been preparing for these glitches for a while, you know? And I think I got the secret ingredient, even though it's hard to. Nope. I'll take that back. All you listeners out there who are listening, you are live right here in Taino Audio and .com. And for all those future listeners, thank you for tuning in. And hopefully by the time you listen to this show, okay, I think we got it. Yes. So where are you from?
I am from New York. I was born and raised in New York, yes. But I currently live in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. In the Lenape territory. Yes.
But you said Philadelphia. Incredible show today. Well, we have someone representing Philadelphia, and her name is Stephanie Bosch, a.k.a. Malulani. How about that one?
I love that. That was fun.
Oh, my God. That is so cool. So tell me,
what's
coming down?
If we were physically live, you would have seen me getting ready for boxing. I was like, yeah.
That's great. Yeah, you got a good boxing name. And coming into the ring, hailing from the great city of Philadelphia, the way of Borinquen, Malulani. Does anybody be cheering? That's right, the Wepa chant, right? Wepa, Oh, vaya. And then when you score the knockout, vaya. Oh, man. So, all right, Philadelphia, how's Philly out there? Is it under a lot of snow?
It's not under a lot of snow because a lot of the snow has actually been melting since this morning. But it was a lot of snow when the storm hit.
You're kidding me. Wow.
Yeah, it was a lot of snow here.
Look, I know in New York City, we got, I want to say 6 inches. I thought it would be more than that, but I could be wrong. But it's, I know the North got really walloped hard, man. I know a lot of the climate change people, opponents of climate change, they're like, look at the snow. I'm like, yeah, yeah. You can chill out. So, do you like going out in the snow? Because you know, a lot of Tainos surprisingly love snow, right? Well, what do you think about snow?
It's funny because I've been lying to myself for like half of my life. Like my early parts of my life, I told myself I loved the snow and winter was my favorite, and I really never really reflected on how I truly felt about it until my health started declining. And then I started like doing a lot of meditation and reflection, and I'm like, I really never liked the winter. So where did I get that concept from? And it all came from me just trying to fit in when I was living in Miami. I really wanted to fit in when I was living in Texas. In all the hot states and cities that I lived in, I didn't want to feel like, oh, well, yeah, I hate the winter because I live here. So I was like, no, I'm from New York. I love the cold. I love the winter. You suck. That's how I used to be when I was a teenager. And now I'm like, wait a minute. I never really liked the cold. My first memory of snow was a terrible memory, and that's why I never really liked it. I was abandoned out in the schoolyard in the Bronx. And I was waiting for hours after school ended. And I was the only person left out there still waiting for someone to pick me up. And after all those, I actually fell asleep in a pile of snow. It was like a whole hill of snow. I fell asleep in it with my coat trying to stay warm. And a faculty member from my school was shouting out like from a speaker trying to get my attention because they were trying to find me. I did not know they were looking for me. And they said, your mother is here to pick you up. I'm like, what? When did she get here? I've been waiting. So ever since I put that memory into play, and I'm like, that is why I really never liked the cold. I remember feeling every part of the coldness and how it affects a person every second that passes by when they're out there. So that's how I put that memory into play. And then now as an older adult, I no longer like it, period, because there was times when I actually enjoyed the weather, but it was like when it got too cold, I was like, oh, nope, not for me. But now I can't even handle it because of my health. I found out recently that I'm allergic to the cold, that I have osteitis. Yeah, and it's a real allergy. I did not know this thing was real. Like, you actually, I break out in bumps and everything, and my chest gets tight, and the tightness is not from my asthma. I'm asthmatic, and it's a different type of tightness. And it's a different pain, and my bones start to hurt. And it's weird because I only have arthritis in certain parts of my body, but it's my entire body that starts to hurt, like the bones wise and joints. And I start to get locked, like I start locking like a statue, like I'm freezing up, like physically freezing up. And it's a scary experience because my first time experiencing it was when I was still living in New York. It was in 2016. Winter of 2016, before my car accident, that it got super cold before the snow hit. And I went to try to go outside to move my car for the, you know, the alternate side parking. And when I went to go move my car, I just went in. I just got into the car, and like instantly, seconds later, I busted out like if I was being choked, like someone was refraining me from breathing. And it wasn't like an asthma attack. It was like a different type of choking, like if I was being suffocated or something. And I almost got into an accident with another driver just trying to stop my car so I could put it in park while I was having the attack. And immediately I started using my inhaler. It wasn't working, and I was trying to use my – I was trying to use all the medicine, like, pumps that I had with me in my car. None of them was working, so I immediately just parked it in a spot that was not, you know, a right parking spot, went back upstairs and started my nebulizer. The nebulizer helped so much, but I was still experiencing the pain and the feeling of suffocation, the itchiness, like hives, and like the swelling of my throat. So I didn't know what any of that was until I got tested for it.
Interesting. Wow. You know, I mentioned this question about snow because I know a lot of people in the Caribbean love snow, you know, especially coming from a hot climate. And I already got some calls yesterday about the snow from Borinquen. So, yeah, man. So it's crazy. But I love snow personally. Mm-hmm. It's good exercise when you go through it and stuff like that.
It definitely is.
Bobsledding and all that. But hey, but here's the thing. Ready for this? Where are you from? From the homelands, the regional homelands.
So the regional homelands, I am from Borinquen. My mother and father's side, both of their parents, so my maternal grandparents and my paternal grandparents were all born in Borinquen, as well as my great-grandparents from both sides.
Mm. That's wonderful. What are some of the towns that this migration came from?
So I'm still connecting with a lot of my family because I have a little knowledge from what I mentioned earlier. I did grow up with a tough childhood. So I don't really know much of my maternal side. And the parts of my paternal side, I only know as far back as to my grandmother, my grandfather. Anyone after, like before them, I don't know any information of where they're from, like what city. So I know for a fact that my maternal side is from like my paternal grandmother is from Arecibo. I'm not saying it right.
Arecibo.
Let me see. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I also have family from Ponce, from my paternal side.
I think we're already related.
And then my I've been saying since we met that we are. I keep saying it only because you look like a lot of my cousins. You look like my uncle from my maternal side.
There you go. I knew it.
Yes, so I was like, he has to be related. I'm like, I don't care what the DNA test is saying. He has to be.
Oh, man, that is cool. Because I got, Ponce, Arecibo. I got some ancestral claim to the land.
I have some in Carolina.
Carolina, too? Wow.
Mm-hmm. I have some from a little bit all over, yep.
Wonderful. So, Carolina, I know my grandma used to live by Canoanas, but I don't have ancestral claim there. But, wow. So that's your maternal in Carolina?
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. Hmm. So how about, let me see. Do you got any claim in the western coast of Puerto Rico, like Guanica, Yauco? Do those names come up?
I'm about to check right now, but it's because I just recently connected with, I don't know if you saw when I posted the pictures of some family members in Regalia. Some
family members in Regalia. Talk about that. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So I have no knowledge, like physical knowledge of any of my family from either side, my maternal or paternal side, being active in Taino communities. And it was crazy because when I discovered this, it was like a plug just got plugged in or something in a socket. And I was like, you see, it got powered on. You see, I told you. So my entire life, like I mentioned before, that I struggled with imposter syndrome, I never felt the way I was told that I was. So I was always told growing up that we were Puerto Rican, German, Jew. And I never felt that way. I never felt that I was German in any way. The Jewish part, yes, but the German part never fit. And I always felt more connected to the Puerto Rican aspect of what my ancestry was from what I was told.
Right.
Now, my father's side always focused on the German, I'm putting big quotation marks around that, the German parts of our ancestry, but with no real knowledge of where we derive from of Germany. So I always felt like, well, then we're living a lie because we're telling people we're German Jew, but how do we know we're German Jew? Where's the facts? Where's the evidence? Who is German Jew? Who started the lineage? And no one had answers for that. So I was like, okay. And then I'm like, well, then where do we get our last name from? And they were like, well, you get it from Abuelo Don Boni. And my great-grandfather's name was Bonifacio. I'm like, but isn't Bonifacio a Spanish name? And they're like, yeah, he's from Puerto Rico. I'm like, well, then how is he German? So I'm like, where is this name coming from? And no one had any knowledge. So I always felt like I was lied to about my identity. I'm like, we're not German, we're not Jewish, we're not this, we're not that. So I took the DNA test because I wanted answers. Mm. I really wanted some answers about where I'm from, who I am, and where my family is from. Mm. And when I looked it up, I found out that it's not German at all. We got Polish. We do have Hebrew. We do have Dutch, but not German. So I was very intrigued by that. I was very much intrigued by that. And I was like, okay, but where does that come from? I found out the name was not a direct lineage to the ancestors, but it was actually a slave name.
Interesting.
So someone in my lineage was named after their slave owner.
There
and that's
go.
How
yep.
the name started. So that's what
slavery.
Happened. Mm-hmm.
Gosh. Well, here's my question. You said that your family, some relatives were in regalia?
Oh, yeah, yeah. So the relatives in regalia, I thought they were, like, from my maternal side because my maternal side is only Puerto Rican from the knowledge that they know of. And like literally every relative I know of to existence, even some that I just connected with, they're all from Boricin. So I'm like, okay, so, well, who is these Taino people? Because nobody in either side identifies as Taino.
Right.
I found out that my paternal grandmother, my father's mother, her sisters, her family, her lineage are direct lineage of Taino.
Wait a second. What region
ahead.
Are you talking about now from these people? Do you know these relatives?
I'm clicking on her right now so I can see her profile because it's an aunt of mine. It's one of my grandmother's sisters who I connected with on 23andMe. And I was just like, what? Yeah, she's one of my half great aunts. So she, she posted saying that we have ancestry from Manatí, from Arecibo, from Quebradias, or I don't know how to say that right. From.
Hold on.
Yeah, do you know that one?
Yeah, I'm looking at the map right now so I can see where you're at. If anyone's listening, take out your Puerto Rico map. Quebradillas.
Quebradillas. Yeah, there you go, that one.
Quebradillas, yeah.
We also have ancestry from Mayagüez.
Look at that.
And Vega Baja. And San Turk, or San Turk, I don't know how to
San
say
Dulce.
That one.
San Dulce.
Yeah, that one.
Wow, that's spread out the map.
And that's all from my paternal grandmother. That's all her side. So when I connected with my aunt, because she messaged me, I was just in shock because I was like, she looks so familiar, her picture. And I was like, I have pictures of her. And I just shared them of her. And she's the one who was in regalia with her other sisters.
And what year
so
was this
she
with
was
the regalia?
Mentioned, I believe the last, it was last year's regalia that she posted, the pictures of in regalia. It was from last year. But I just posted those pictures like a week ago or a week or so ago.
Can you send me those photos when you know, after the show or something like that? Because maybe I know them.
Yeah, for sure.
Wait, was it in Puerto Rico?
I actually shared it. Yeah, but it was in Puerto Rico, the event. And as a matter of fact, some of the tribe, the members of Arayeque recognized, like, pieces of the regalia. Someone had mentioned that they might be part of the, what was the name? I can't pronounce it.
Higuayagua?
That one, yeah, that one.
And these are your aunts. And these are your aunts.
Yes.
Yes. Interesting. Look at that.
And I never knew these things. And they, my aunt mentioned saying that it all derives from my grandmother's father. Because she said that's how they're related, is through the father. I'm like, okay, so you guys don't share the same mom, but you share the same father. And they're like, yes, there's like two of us that have different dads than the rest of us because your grandmother's mother passed away at a young age.
Wow.
And I was like, wow. I found out that, yeah, I it kind of hurt. It really did when she mentioned that because I never had the opportunity to meet my great-grandmother, and I never had the opportunity to even know what her name was. So it really affected me knowing that. I was like, wow, she had passed due to some lung failure.
Oh, man, I'm sorry to hear that. Damn. Condolences. But it's interesting how the you still find the information. This happens to a lot of our people. A lot of information was either suppressed or not spoken about and eventually comes to light, which is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and
kind of
it's funny because
now.
I grew up, when I'm growing up, my father has always had me around these aunt figures, these aunts of mine. And I knew they were my aunts, but I didn't know what they looked like in regalia. I only knew what they looked like in church clothes or like whatever clothing they wore at family events. So I didn't know what they looked like outside of, you know, the family functions. And never not once did anybody mention that we were Taino, but what they did mention was that we had aunts. They didn't specify which ones that come from our father's side of the family that practiced, quote unquote, I'm putting them big quotation marks, witchcraft and brujeria.
That's another reason why they don't talk.
Yeah, so I put two and two together when I found out, and I'm like, so these must be the aunts they're talking about because the ceremonies they're mentioning are the ceremonies that my aunts are posting pictures of, which are them in regalia, and it's not witchcraft, it's not brujeria, it's cultural, but it's Taino culture.
They're trying to keep it away from you almost, huh?
Exactly. That's what I felt like, someone that we were trying to keep it away from me, keep our history away from us. And I always wondered why. So I was trying to contact my grandmother on the 19th because it was my grandfather's birthday. And when I was trying to ask the question, it was like immediately shut down. We had to go. She had to go because she heard a knock on the door and she told me to call later. And I was like, this seems like it's a touchy subject, so we'll talk about it at a later time.
Oh, man. Well, when you have time, send me the photos, you know, because that'll be interesting. Maybe I know them. I used to be a member of Higuayagua. It'll be interesting to know if I knew them. Would that be a small world, right?
It would be very interesting because if you did that, that's like bringing so much more of a connection and finding more answers and stuff. That would be great.
Yeah, well, it goes to show you cannot be denied, even though the information was not given to you. Because look, you're part of a tribal community, right? That's it. And this is what happens. Anyone out there who's listening, this often happens in our families about Taino identity. It's something that started in 1492. This whole suppression, oppression of Taino culture, and it's something that we still deal with. Sometimes a lot of people choose to be invisible, just to avoid the problems and the ridicule, you know, and the attacks. But there's people like us that, you know, we want to connect, right? And that's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for sharing that information.
I just sent you the photos.
Oh, that's wonderful. Let me just see right now, since we're doing this show live here. I'm just curious to see if I know them, because that'll be a small world. This wasn't planned out, right?
It was not. And
okay,
I don't know my aunt, the one that I connected with. I don't know what her tribal name is, but her mm-hmm. birth name is Mildred.
Wait, so I got 1, 2, 3, 4. I recognize 4 of the ladies. I recognize all of them. Yeah. So Mildred's the one all the way in the right? She's
Let
short?
Let me see. Hold
on. Is that
on.
Your aunt,
Let
Mildred?
Me go into the picture. Let me see. Which one are you looking at? The one with all 4 ladies or all the ladies
yeah.
or the one with the 2
all
ladies?
All 5 ladies.
Okay, so all 5 ladies, the one all the way to the right is Mildred.
And that's your aunt?
That's my aunt.
Wow, I basically have known her for a good 20 years.
BS! Oh, my goodness! I was like, wait a minute. You pinpointed her out real quick, and he said, that's Mildred? I was like, wait a minute, nuh-uh. You recognized her. I was like, someone knows my family.
Yeah, last time I saw her was at an event that an Indigenous Day Remembrance, and she gave a little testimony. She was coming from Florida. I think she lives in Florida, right? Yeah, she's
in Florida, yeah.
Yeah, she's a spark fire. Yep, she's considered a warrior. So there you go, man. So I'm speaking to Mildred's niece. isn't that incredible?
Grandniece.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I'm not pointing fingers, but somehow this information was protected. Then, for some reason, anyone, you didn't know this, but you found out anyway. The spirits, man.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, the ancestors know how to work their magic. So that's great. Isn't that amazing? It's a small world. But for all you people out there who think Tainos don't exist, well, guess what? Sometimes it's a little murky when information is blocked. But eventually we find out, right? We find out.
Mm-hmm.
There's 529 years of a campaign for assimilation. For many of our relatives, it's protection because they don't want us. You know, there's a lot of fear out there, like you said, brujeria and, you know, the
mm-hmm.
black magic stuff. And this is what's been portrayed through the years, right, in Native America.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot of misleading information and inaccuracies, too.
Exactly. So let me ask you, it seems like you really had to fight hard for your identity, you know, and here you are, you're part of a tribal community. What are you doing now to try to express that identity, that connection as a tribal Taino member? Like, what are you trying to do right now? You know, like,
so,
you know, you're old enough. You're old enough right now. No one can tell you, don't do this, don't do that. So what are you doing
mm-hmm.
to show the world?
So what I'm personally doing to show the world who I am and how we exist still to this day, I am mm-hmm. trying to be an activist to my fullest mm-hmm. potentials and my fullest abilities. I share a lot of content of language-based knowledge of the reconstruction of the Taino language of Taino Borinquen Aiki.
Mm-hmm.
I share video content as well as some of us tribal members came together as a community and created an activity book for all ages to learn the language and some culture as well through the book. And it's an amazing book to get to.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also currently working on, sorry, I needed to take a breather there.
Nice.
I'm also currently working on a children's edition of an ABC book of
mm-hmm.
learning the Taino Borinquen Aiki alphabet. Because our alphabet is different than, you know, the generic English alphabet and Spanish alphabet. So I wanted to create something where it's interactive for children, where they're able to learn the alphabet but also learn words connected to the alphabet and how they play a role into the letters, how they play a role into the expressing words and language. So I wanted to do that because, you know, I never had that opportunity when I was a kid. I didn't have the opportunity to learn my native tongue. I was judged, and I'm still judged till this day for not speaking Spanish because I don't speak it. I don't understand it 100%, but I almost fluidly understand it. But speaking wise, I cannot speak Spanish. For some reason, it just never stuck for me. I stutter a lot. I have a speech impediment, so it gets really, really bad when I try to speak in Spanish. And it's funny because discovering the language of Boricua Naiki, and right off the bat, like literally day one, it's like it felt natural. It felt natural to learn this language, and it felt natural like if it was like this is the language I'm supposed to be speaking. I'm supposed to be speaking my native tongue. English doesn't work for me. I started with English because it's not meant for me. It's not my language. Spanish doesn't stick to me because it's not meant for me. It's not my language. But Boricua Naiki is meant for me because it is my language. It's the language that is coming from my ancestors, that is being brought back to life, is being rebirthed for the future generations to come, so our children and our children's children and their children could learn
Look
this.
Look at that. Look at that testimony. You know, it's interesting. I share that, you know, my first language was Spanish growing up. My great-grandmother raised me, and I used to have a speech impediment. I used to stutter as well when I speak Spanish. And when I started learning English, it caused problems for me in Spanish. So eventually I speak better in English. Sometimes I stutter in English, but when I speak Spanish now, I stutter, and I always have to be conscious of that. Isn't it interesting? We both share that. So, Well, I just wrote Mildred, your great aunt. I just wrote her on Facebook, sent her the link to this show. I'm asking her to call in if she can, but it seems like she's not connected to Facebook right now. But I'm trying to get her on.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get her on. If she sees this message, she knows me well. I know over 20 years, you know, so...
It's funny because the last message I spoke with her, she had asked, because I mentioned it to her. I'm like, hey, I'm part of a tribal community, and I wanted to know what tribal community are you part of, because I saw pictures of you in regalia. And immediately she said, yeah, our family belongs to a specific Yukayeke, and we come from this line. I'm like, what? I did not know this. And then she was like, yes, what is the tribe you're part of? So I immediately sent it to her, and I've been waiting for a response. It's been since the beginning of the new year that I haven't heard from her, because I have only been communicating through her through the 23andMe website. Mm. So I haven't spoken to her since. Yeah.
Wow. Which, whatever path we all have, everyone has something to give. Interesting, because we had the last correspondence we had was in 2016 on Facebook. Let me see. I think her Yukayeke is Guanaina. Wait, hold on a second. I'm looking at some old texts here. I don't want to speak out. Yeah, last time I spoke.
She mentions here that my grandmother's mother passed from pulmonary disease, that we are Taino from both sides. She said Indio from the mother and father side, but she has Indio on both of her mother and father's side as well, because remember they have two different mothers. So I had questioned about who their father was. Like, I didn't know who the father was, and I'm like, well, who was my great grandfather from my grandmother's side? Because I don't know. I know about Abuelo Don Boni, which is Grandpa Jose's father, but I don't know my grandmother's mother or father. So she mentioned to me, she said, yeah, your grandmother's full name is Ana Rosa Gandia. That was before she got married. Her father's name, because she was saying, I am the youngest out of all my sisters. And our father's name was Augusto Gandia. And I was like, that is crazy, because all the connection I'm connecting to right now is bringing me directly to them, like to mm-hmm. like that side of my family. Because she said, yeah, his name was Augusto Gandia. And I'm like, well, it's funny because I was born in August.
Wow.
I was born in August. His name was Augusto. And all this stuff from that side, it has been refrained from me to having access to, but I'm connecting all of a sudden with them. And it's funny you mentioned that you last spoke to her or last affiliated with her in 2016, because that was a year that I had an awakening. I had my accident that year. So a lot was going on that year. And I didn't hear from her, but she did reach out to my father's side, because my nephew, he was born 2 years prior, and his birthday was in July. So that was the last time I heard anything of them. I didn't see them. I didn't physically speak to them, but they did call to reach out to my nephew. So I was excited about that. I was like, oh, wow. So they're still around. That's great. So I'm hoping that while they're still living, that I could connect with them. And look
definitely,
at me now. Look at me now, collecting.
See, you got to understand, I want people who are of Taino descent and ancestry and identity, that there's one thing that we need to do, and the African cultures do this as well. When we hit a roadblock, we ask our ancestors for assistance. You know, come help us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I need your help. And they will come. And this is what's been going on in our communities for a while now. They've been gearing, they've been pointing the way, right? Making, you know, because for us, you know, there's human beings and there's the dead. And the dead are just as alive as human beings, but in a different form, right? And we have to respect that. So
I like to see it as the way people believe in, like, the movie The Matrix, and the way they believe in multiple dimensions. I like to believe that about the dead. I like to believe that they're not, like, their soul isn't dead. Just the body that they inhabited in this lifetime, in this dimension, is no longer in service. But their soul is now in another dimension, and they're still living. They're just living here physically with us in this dimension.
Yeah, because our dimension is based on what? 3D, right? The 3D dimension? But they're at a different dimension. So, but they're working their magic, you know? They're working their magic. So let me see. We're running out of time. See, it's always, we're always having fun, right? But let me look at, she hasn't written back, so I guess she's not on Facebook. But maybe one day we can get you guys back together. How about doing a show with you guys together? That'll be fun.
I would love that.
That'll be a lot of fun. We get one of our abuelas and you on the show. Wow. So, well, before we go, I'm going to maybe in a minute you can explain about your two-spirit, if you want.
Yeah, sure.
Sure, go ahead.
So I identify as two-spirit, and a lot of people be confused about the two-spirit identity.
Okay.
So I like to explain it in the aspect of a non-binary person. Two-spirit is similar to non-binary, but two-spirit is more of an identity that indigenous people claim. And it's because we see it in a spiritual aspect. I see it, at least, in a spiritual aspect that my spirit, my soul, is not one gender, is not either male or female, but I am both. I am the feminine. I am the masculine. Because without one or the other, I will not exist. So I see myself as neither male or female. I am neither gender, but I am both genders. And there's a lot of two-spirit people in the two-spirit community that identify with different, you know, gender roles. Hey, I am two-spirit, but I align with more the feminine side, or I align more with my masculine side. And they prefer to, the ones who align more with the masculine prefer he and him pronouns, mm-hmm. and the ones with the more feminine prefer she and her pronouns. But then there's people like me, for instance, who really would prefer someone to refer to me as they, them, because I am they, them. I am not she, I am not he, but I am they, because that's who I am. Mm-hmm. And that's the easiest way I could explain it, mm-hmm. in a understanding where it's like layman's terms, because mm-hmm. that's how I understand it. It's not a sexuality, it's not a sexual identity, it's a gender mm-hmm. identity. And people seem to confuse the two.
Right, right, exactly. Yeah, there needs to be a lot of more education on this. You know, I was taught by the East Coast Two-Spirit Society how to be a fancy dancer in the powwow community. And I went through the whole traditional of them teaching me, them gifting me with the 75 feathers, making my regalia, and wasn't the prettiest regalia, but they gave me the courage to do it in a traditional way, you know. And then so I'm always grateful for that experience. So I totally get it, man. And, you know, a lot of people, I've been championing this effort for a while now, that, you know, we separate Yokahu and Atabe, the divine masculine, divine feminine. They separate all the time. But it's really one.
Mm-hmm.
They're really one.
Mm-hmm.
So I know we don't use that they language in the Taino community, but if God is male, female, God is they. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Our most sacred beings.
They are both male and female. If it wasn't for them, we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be created. So that's why the term of they, them is utilized. Mm-hmm. People seem to think that you can't call a person they. I'm like, but why not? Aren't they a person? Well, yeah, sure.
Yep.
So why can't they call themselves they?
Yep. Yeah, this is powerful stuff.
And that's how
stuff.
I like to put into perspective.
I know the Spaniards, they were on the, or I should say the invaders at the time, 1400s, they whenever they saw someone who was two-spirit, they would kill them. They would kill them on sight, and they bragged about it, you know. Or I should say transgender folks. So there was some, you know, the ancient world knew about all this, and they respected it. And as the Two-Spirit Society taught me, there's a prophecy that says until they accept the two-spirit folks, there won't be unity among the tribes, you know. So it was, at one point it was revered. Now they're still getting a lot of backlash. So, you know, all honor to you, and I respect that you you bring this forward in this segment. Do you are you connected with Cleopatra by any way, you know, in the Two Spirits, the Taino Two Spirit Society, and on Facebook?
I need to check that out. You said Cleopatra?
Okay, hold on a second. Let me look it up right now. Oh my God! Wait a minute. Okay, it's the LGBTQ Taino Two Spirit Society. Taino Two Spirit. You find it on Facebook. It's a private group. It's led by one of our Bejiques of Arayeque. Her name is V. Perez. V. Perez. You can look it up.
Oh yes, I follow. I have her personal account. I'm not part of that group. And now that, because I didn't know it existed, so now that you mentioned it, I just started checking it out, and I'm gonna you know, try to join the group. I have to answer the questionnaires, but. I have them. Yeah, I have them on both Facebook and Instagram and TikTok.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. She's our tribal member. She leads this. I support her wholeheartedly. We work together, you know, in a spiritual way. So, wow, there's a support for you right there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So this is awesome. I'm gonna copy this show on there, okay? So you could. This is wonderful. Great connections, man. This is awesome. It's good stuff, right?
Definitely, for sure. Han,
right? So listen, I'd like to thank you. Han, I'd like to thank you for being on the show. This is wonderful. Let me just look. I'm looking at my. I think I got. Hold on a second. I'm getting some messages. Sometimes people are shy to call in. Actually, I didn't open up the lines today, but next time. I'm going to close the show with one of my favorite songs. Naboria Taka Mayo Maya Ni Makana. And it's a great song. I love it. Jose Luis Guerra from the Dominican Republic, he wrote this song in 1992, when everyone was celebrating Columbus on the islands. He released this song, and basically the song talks about, I am the servant of God, please do not kill me. So he got a lot of heat for that from Dominicans, Puerto Rican, everyone, like, why are you going to create a song like that? Well, I was celebrating. And he's like, nope, not a time to celebrate. So I'd like to dedicate this song to you, all you Taínos out there. We're still alive and well. And please, everyone, don't kill us. We are alive. Thank you, Stephanie Malulani. I'll see you soon.
Hopefully we're...
Thank you.
Gonna